Our good buddy Scrooge just met the ghost of Christmas Present in one of his rooms with an underused hearth. I gotta say, justice for the hearth. Let that hearth have all the fires that it needs. Scrooge has touched the robe of the ghost of Christmas Present and is about to embark upon another journey. And so with that, let's get to it. And my phone had just died, so if I seem a little extra frazzled trying to do this today, my most sincere apologies. It's a technology day, woohoo! Okay, let's try this again. Holly, mistletoe, red berries, ivy, turkeys, geese, game, poultry, brawn, meat, pigs, sausages, oysters, pies, pudding, fruit, and punch all vanished instantly. So did the room, the fire, the ruddy glow, the hour of night. And they stood in the city streets on Christmas morning where, for the weather was severe, the people made a rough but brisk and not unpleasant kind of music, and scraping the snow from the pavement in front of their dwellings and from the tops of their houses, whence it was mad delight to the boys to see it come plumping down into the road below and spitting into artificial little snowstorms. The house fronts looked black enough and the windows blacker, contrasting with the smooth white sheet of snow upon the roofs and with the dirtier snow upon the ground, which last deposit had been plowed up in deep furrows by the heavy wheels of carts and wagons, furrows that crossed and recrossed each other hundreds of times where the great streets branched off and made intricate channels hard to trace in the thick yellow mud and icy water. The sky was gloomy, and the shortest streets were choked up with a dingy mist, half thawed, half frozen, whose heavier particles descended in a shower of sooty atoms, as if all the chimneys in Great Britain had, by one consent, caught fire and were blazing away to their dear heart's content. There was nothing very cheerful in the climate or the town, and yet there was an air of cheerfulness abroad that the clearest summer air and brightest summer sun might have endeavored to diffuse in vain. For the people who were shoveling away on the housetops were jovial and full of glee, calling out to one another from the parapets, and now and then exchanging a facetious snowball, better-natured missile far than many a wordy jest, laughing heartily if it went right and not less heartily if it went wrong. The poulterers' shops were still half open, and the fruiterers were radiant in their glory. There were great, round, pot-bellied baskets of chestnuts, shaped like waistcoats of jolly old gentlemen, lolling at the doors and tumbling out into the street in their apoplectic opulence. There were ruddy, brown-faced, broad-girthed Spanish onions, shining in the fatness of their growth like Spanish friars, and winking from their shelves in wanton slyness at the girls as they went by, and glanced demurely at the hung-up mistletoe. There were pears and apples, clustered in high-blooming pyramids, and there were bunches of grapes, made, in the shopkeeper's benevolence, to dangle from conspicuous hooks that people's mouths might water gratis as they passed. There were piles of filberts, mossy and brown, recalling, in their fragrance, ancient walks among the woods and pleasant shufflings ankle-deep through withered leaves. There were Norfolk biffins, squat and swarthy, setting off the yellow of the oranges and lemons, and in the great compactness of their juicy persons, urgently entreating and beseeching to be carried home in paper bags and eaten after dinner. The very gold and silver fish, set forth among these choice fruits in a bowl, though members of a dull and stagnant-blooded race, appeared to know that there was something going on, and, to a fish, went gasping round and round their little world in slow and passionless excitement. The grocers, oh, the grocers, nearly closed with perhaps two shutters down, or one, but through those gaps such glimpses. It was not alone that the scales descending on the counter made a merry sound, or that the twine and roller parted company so briskly, or that the canisters were rattled up and down like juggling tricks, or even that the blended scents of tea and coffee were so grateful to the nose, or even that the raisins were so plentiful and rare, the almonds so extremely white, the sticks of cinnamon so long and straight, the other spices so delicious, the candied fruits so caked and spotted with molten sugar, as to make the coldest lookers-on feel faint and subsequently bileless. Nor was it that the figs were moist and pulpy, or that the French plums blushed in modest tartness from their highly decorated boxes, or that everything was good to eat and in its Christmas dress. But the customers were all so hurried and so eager in the hopeful promise of the day that they tumbled up against each other at the door, crashing their wicker baskets wildly, and left their purchases upon the counter, and came running back to fetch them, and committed hundreds of the like mistakes, in the best humor possible, while the grocer and his people were so frank and fresh that the polished hearts with which they fastened their aprons behind might have been their own, worn outside for general inspection, and for Christmas daws to peck at it if they chose. And you know what? I'm going to leave it there today because all that reading about food has made me want second breakfast. And feeding myself is a pretty big priority. So we will pick it up from the street scene on Christmas morning tomorrow. It probably won't get sent out in the morning. Expect it sometime in the afternoon or evening because I'm going to a dear, dear, dear friend's 40th birthday tonight. And although I'm not one to imbibe all that much, I will probably have at least one margarita. And now that I'm 37, it will probably take me at least 6 hours in the morning to recover from a single margarita. Welcome to being old. Although I know it's not really that old, but you know, the times, they are a changing and all that stuff. Anyway, thanks for letting me read you a whole long list of fruits and vegetables and all the other things. I'm going to be thinking about Spanish onions for the rest of the day. I don't know about you. Let me know if there's any fruits or vegetables or food in that very long list that caught your attention the way that the Spanish onions captivated mine. All right, dear folks, thank you for letting me into your ear holes once again. I'm loving reading A Christmas Carol. This has been so hearty for me. Just a nice way to start the day. I love you all so very much. Please take good care of your hearts and try to get some rest this weekend. Not sure what that looks like for you. I'm never sure what anything looks like for you. But you know what that looks like for you. So get on it. Get after it. Go do it. Take care of yourself. I love you again. And I will talk to you tomorrow. Bye, friends.